tonight's tzaddik, his yahrzeit is Hey Adar, and is the tzaddik of Avram from Chechnov. He's one of the tzaddikim which most people haven't heard of. He was a Talmud of Reb Leib Sharif, but really came to his greatness on his own. In fact, somebody once came from the city of Chechnov to the Divrei Chaim and said he was from that city, and the Divrei Chaim says, "Do you know the Tzaddik of Avram?" So he said, "No." He says, "How could it be that you live in the same city of such a person and you don't know him? Don't you know that since the days of the Baal Shem Tov, he's one of the only people, he's one of the Yechidim, who was Zeicha to reach such greatness without having a Rebbe?" So although in his younger years he was a Talmud of Leib Sharif, but through his Hasmada and Kedusha and much more, he was Zeicha, as we said, become a Rebbe later in life, but only after the Patira of the Kutzker and the Chedushim, who he had a very, very close Yedidus with, did he actually become Rebbe. As a young child, he was very apparent that he was going to be destined for greatness. In fact, Rabbunim from Shisra, who Avram had met only maybe once or twice, Rabbunim had said within his Ruach HaKodesh that the grandfather of Avram, who was a very great tzaddik and tzaddik nister, had pulled down this great neshama for his grandchild from a very high place in Shemaim. And even as an infant in the crib, a tzaddik once walked into the room, and the father of Avram pulled over the tzaddik and said, "I want to show you something." He says that the baby keeps both his hands on his head at all times, and if I move his hands away from his head, he starts to cry. So they realized right then that he was makbid on having his head covered, even as an infant. And so they knitted together a special tiny yarmulke to place on his head. The Divrei Chaim said about him that every aver in his body was kaddish. The Avnei Nezer said that he had a tzur of a malach Hashem tzvakos. And the Tzanzer Rav had said that to have a tzaddik like this in our generation, anybody who doesn't know him, doesn't come to see him, will have to give an accounting for that in Shemayim. He was a moiridik tzaddik, meaning that he casted a lot of fear on the people around him. It was very makpin on Divrei Chazal that a person shouldn't show tzchaik, laughter in this world. He never slept during the day. It was very, very much a medaktik in halacha. And when they once asked him about the rebbes who daven tefillah, shachris later in the day, why he doesn't do the same if he's a rebbe, he said, "We say in Ketores, Tani Bar Kapora, if you would only put even just a small measure of honey into the Ketores, it would be such a gewaldic smell that people wouldn't be able to take it. So why don't we?" Because the Torah says, "Tatara amra kol sabachodos like Mishael Hashem." You're not allowed to put vash. So he says about these tzaddikim who daven after this man, that they are like, Bakapara is speaking about, they can do it better if they daven after this man. But the Torah says not to. The Torah says don't put vash. Don't do it better, even though you do it your way, it's better. You have to follow exactly what the Torah says. So then they said, "So then why don't you come out against them?" So he says, "Because it's not an avera." "How do I know?" "Because a true Aveira is Gareris Aveira. But you see from these tzaddikim that these quote-unquote Aveiras bring them to even bigger mitzvahs." And he says, nothing could be said about them. And he held that these rabbis in the highest esteem. He was very medactic in halacha on every single dibur. He once wanted to go visit the Chiddush HaRim and to discuss a certain matter. And they tried to persuade him not to go, because he was in frail health at the time, maybe a little bit older. So he's commented and he said in Yiddish that he's not going there to zissen, not going there to stay for a while. But the word zu zitzen can mean to sit. And because those words left his mouth, the entire train ride there, he didn't sit at all. He stood the entire time because he didn't want to be over on a dibur which came out of his mouth, which implied that he wasn't going to be sitting on the journey. He was involved in a shidduch for a grandchild with another Talmud Chacham, and they were getting ready to be engaged during the 9 days. And he said that's what should be done. But the other grandfather, also a notable Talmud Chacham, said, no, we should wait till after the 9 days to get it. It's not an auspicious time. So when that happened, he called off the Shidduch. And he says that anybody who thinks that he's wiser than the Pshat of the Shulchan Aruch, which says that it's mutter to get engaged even on Tisha B'Av, he says, I don't want to have to enter into a marriage with such a mishpacha. And he called it off. He was very shtark in another way. And he had a chassid who was a very wealthy chassid and a support of his. He said something about the Noid B'Yehuda, which seemed like a Lashon Hara, about the Noid B'Yehuda's feelings about saying the Shem Yichud, which we know he was very against it. And he put him in Chayrim. He put the chassid in Chayrim. And everybody in the town accepted it. Unless he would go and take 10 people to the Kevah of the Noid B'Yehuda and to ask for forgiveness. And he had to do so. It took him a year to go back and forth. And by the time he got back, he lost his fortune and he died a short while after. But the bizyanis to the Noid B'Yehuda, he wouldn't be Saival, and he knew it wouldn't be good for this neshama either unless he would ask forgiveness for the Noid B'Yehuda at his Kevah. It was a tremendous masmid. Tremendous masmid, in other words, gevaldik koyach and bakol. The Devi Shmuel from Slonim said that he once spent 6 weeks in the Beis Medrash of Avram von Chekhnov. And during those 6 weeks, the Devi Shmuel said that he finished kol hashas be'iyun. And he says that it's something which is unfathomable, but it was only possible because of the gevaldik kedusha and hatzlach in Torah, which permeated in the Beis Medrash from Avram from Chekhnov. Said, you once came to him from a certain town where there were mamash no Jews living there, complaining that he felt very alone, very by himself. So Rabbi Avram said back to me, he says, what does it mean a Yid is by himself? He says, don't you have a Bai and Rava with you? Don't you have a Bai and Rava? How can a Jew be by himself if he has a Bai and Rava? He has a Gemara, how can he be by himself? Once his son Rebzev Wolf from Strykov, he was planning on going to visit the Kutzker, and he came to the Kutzker and he said, tell me something about your father. The Kutzker knew about the greatness of Rebbe Avram from a distance, and he was always inquiring about the Hanhagas and the Vetairah of Rebbe Avram, and he said to his son, please tell me something like the Ravort or an Hanhaga from your father. He says, I don't know what to tell you, Rebbe. He says, you have nothing to share? He says, well, before I came here, my father, he made me a hot tea when Isai was getting ready to go. And after some time, Isai wasn't drinking it, and he asked me why. I told him, because it's piping hot. He says, piping hot? What do you mean? Kli sheni einam bevashel. If the halacha says that a kli sheni doesn't cook, then it's not hot. And he picked up the cup and he drank it. And nothing was done to him. Rabbi Avram wasn't affected by it at all. By him, the halacha was the metzias. When the Kutzker heard this story, he was so mispoiled. And he says, your father, every aver in his body is kaddish. Every aver in his body is kaddish. Somebody once asked him, who was also a goyin and a kaddish, how is it that you became a rebbe and you have so many talmidim and people come to you for brachas, pidyonis, but by me, nothing. So he says, tell me a maisa which happened to you in your life that you were really very, very happy about. So he said, something had happened once, and it fell into my lap, a fortune of 10,000 rubles all at once, and that was I had a gevaldik simcha from that. So Rebbe Avram said to him, he says, you know, when I put on my tefillin every single day, not just when I put on my tefillin, when I stick out my hand with the sleeve rolled up to be put on the tefillin, the simcha which I have at that time is greater than the 10,000 rubles you won on that one day. Every day I have a simcha which is greater than that. When he heard that, this other tzaddik, not only did he understand, but he became a chassid of the Rebbe Avram. He says, Azoy, if that's the case, then I make myself a chassid of you, if that's the type of a simcha which you have, putting on tefillin every single day. Now I understand. He wasn't a person who could be slavel, and he shaker, he was an ish emes. He says that they once put a silver-plated menorah on his table, either for Shabbos or for Yontev, and as soon as he saw it, and they told him that it wasn't silver, it was just silver-plated, he wanted it away. Didn't want to see it. He says, Midvar sheker terchok. If it looks like silver, but it's not, he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. They once put in front of him a glass of seltzer for the first time, and everybody was very enamored by it and very excited about the bubbles in the water and the taste and so on. And so the Rebbe was examining it, and they said, Rebbe, you should drink it very quickly, because if you don't, you're going to lose the bubbles. So he said, if the metzius of this drink is that I'm going to be chayv to drink it, that it makes me drink it when I don't want to drink it, then I don't want to have it at all. And he asked that it be removed from his presence. Didn't want to have anything to do with it. If the food is going to have a shlit on me, it's going to tell me when to drink it, then such a food or such a drink, I don't want to have any shaykhs to it. A woman once came to him complaining that she was in Aguna and her husband had left her and nowhere to be found. So he sent it to a certain chassid. His name was... doesn't say his name here. It says the father-in-law of Moshe Aaron from Brandine, that this lady should be sent to him to help her deal with the lost husband. So she traveled, she came to his house, showed him the paper. He says, I don't know what the Rebbe wants of me. I don't even know where to begin looking, but okay, the Rebbe says, so I have to help her. So he started to tell his wife what needs to be done, and told the lady she could stay in the house until he gets back, and he's going to see what he could do to help her. And he called in like his head of the house, who overlooked his affairs, and started to give him instructions what to do, and so on and so forth. And as soon as this guy came and the woman saw the man, she fainted. And when she was awoken from her sleep, so she said that this was her husband. This is her husband. He denied it at first, and he had to be moida, and a get was able to be arranged. But the reason why the Rebbe had sent her to that house, because he saw Bruch HaKodesh, that's where her husband was. He made a lot of hachanas for Shabbos, as you can imagine, the Kedusha, and the learning, and the mikvah, and all types of hachanas, which lasted for hours. Happened once on a Friday that the mayor of the town wanted to come speak to him about a certain inyan, and they sat down and they shook hands, and after the meeting was done, so he said the pasuk v'sam l'arei kaychachem, that all of your efforts have gone to waste. And he says to shake a goy's hand before Shabbos and to go into Shabbos that way is pasnish. So he went back to the mikvah, went back to the chanas, he did everything again in order to be able to go into Kedusha Shabbos the way that he felt you should go into Shabbos. In terms of his Kedusha, so there was a certain disagreement in town between two parties, and they asked Rabbi Avram to be involved. And a man came in, a yid came in, to give edus to one of the parties. And either he came in this way, or during the course of the conversation, this happened, that he stuck his hands into his pocket, and he had his hands in his pocket. And he refused to listen to the edus. He didn't accept it at all. And he says, halach is a nogea bedavar, somebody who is nogea bedavar is pasal le'edus. And since you're nogea bedavar, you're touching bedavar, you have your hands in your pocket. If you understand what that means in Divrei Kedusha, he says, a nogea bedavar is pasal le'edus. That was mamash the degree of Kedusha which he had and which he expected from others. Once on Rosh Hashanah, there was a Baal Tekeah, and he was blowing, and the Rebbe kept motioning with his hands, like pointing to his ear, and throwing up his hands, like, I don't hear, I'm just not hearing. And he, again, Tkiya, Tshvarim, Tshuva, the Rebbe saying he doesn't hear. So they brought a new Baal Tekeah in, and the Baal Tekeah started to blow, and the Rebbe put up his hands, he said, oh, Baruch Hashem, I hear, as if to show like everything is good. It couldn't make sense of it. It wasn't the Shofar, what it was, the Baal Tekeah. But after Rosh Hashanah, they investigated the Baal Tekeah, the first one, and they saw that he had minas and apikorsis. And the reason why the Rebbe wasn't hearing was because his body was so kadosh v'tahor that he was only able to hear kosher blasts. But the blasts which were being blown weren't kosher blasts, so he couldn't hear it. Mamash, his ears couldn't hear the trefa koilis, which the apikorsis is blowing. when the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, were coming into the town of Chechnev, so they had said Meiraish from the beginning that they were going to desecrate the cemetery and the grave of Reb Avraham from Chechnev. When the Chevra Kadisha heard about that, and it lists the names of the people involved, they were going to be Meiser Nefesh, do whatever they could, even at their life's expense, to prevent the disgrace of Reb Avraham. And in the middle of the night, they dug out his body, exhumed it, I believe it's called, and they moved him to the new cemetery in Chechnev, and made a front and a cover as if like his body was there, but it really had secretly been moved to a different location. And they had said that when they were digging up the body, the grave, and they saw that his body was ki'ilu fresh, mamish, like the day that he had passed away, kulo intact, completely intact, kadosh v'tahor, naki, beautiful, clean, sparkling. That was the state in which they found him when they went to go ahead and to rebury him in the new makom. So mamish, a hidlik tzaddik, a gevaldik tzaddik, and.